Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Eddie. Two questions for you, Eddie. Where's Chris and where's the money?
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack. This is Film Sack episode 558. Nope, that's last week's. It's 559.
It's too much pre-show.
It's going real good. Yeah. That's what's happening. It's Sunday, July 10th. That's the weekend we're on, and I would like to first introduce myself. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. What do you want him to do with the turtle, Dunaway?
What am I supposed to do with this stupid turtle? Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, we put on our bulletproof vest made for our hearts and not for our scrotes. Remember, be careful out there, scrotes, and drive our mob-operated armored car money truck right back to the early, really, really early world of early 1980s New York, where we are short on good-paying jobs and long on crime. Mouthy Coke friends, young Giulianis, and cops whose heads are shaped like thumbs. Sorry, Rock. Maybe if you grew some hair on top. Oh, God, no. Stick with the thumb look. It's working for you. Anywho, grab the other end of this naked statue for my mom and help me load it into the trunk of my Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am. Careful with the berries. That's my wine drunk in the alley mom's favorite part. Hey, do you have to pee? I know a great place to pee. It's really busy, though. There's always somebody in there. I mean, like, we're always waiting on somebody to come out. It used to even be more crowded when my dad got fired from his tenured job at the crime boss bathroom upkeep man. Ah, the salad days. This movie was like Robin Hood if Friar Tuck couldn't keep his coked up mouth shut and Maid Marian served pie down at the local diner and the sheriff at Nottingham had a head shaped like a thumb. I'm sorry, Rock. Randy? I said thank you for saving my life, right?
Yeah, you did. Good. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Good Lord. I feel like I've been coked up or something.
No,
good Lord.
That was amazing.
That's all over top of that one. That was, woo.
That's the definition of your intros, though. You do, yeah, you're always coked up.
That's the epitome of a Brian Dunaway intro.
Yep. That's what you want. Also with us, Randy, you will have Dwayne The Rock Johnson in your Dwayne The Rock Johnson tour, right? Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. And thank you all for coming to this quick briefing. I'm your police precinct captain who will never be identified in future tellings of our very true story here. You detectives today are going to investigate an outfit called Empire Securities. Mm-hmm. See, they're called Empire Securities because we need to make it clear that this is New York City, even though the trees outside make it look like we're in Louisiana. Your investigation of this outfit is going to go fine. And nothing bad will happen as long as you follow these three important steps. Mm. Number one, Detective Rock, you're going to always be the one who shows up when someone tries to rob this outfit. Doesn't matter if they get bombed during the day or their weird office gets invaded at night across town. You work all shifts and you work in all precincts, I guess. Number two, when you, the NYPD, invade the weird offices of Empire Securities at night, you won't need a warrant and you won't need a properly sized unit of officers. Just take two guys in plain clothes and be ready to use the gym equipment you find there. Number three, whatever you do, don't arrest or even impede the actions of the friendly young giant you find working there. We're the police. We would never stop a huge child with a gun from doing whatever he wants while robbers attack the money room he's guarding. Don't handcuff him. Don't throw him in lockup for a few hours. Don't even question how the hell he's driving a 78 Trans Am. Did you see that thing? How is this broke giant man child whose dad appears to have spent the last decade working in the lucrative field of Greek restaurant toilet stall repair driving around in that? I'm asking this, not you. You detectives will not ask this question when you cross paths with him for the third day in a row. All right, dismissed.
Nice.
That sticky Trans Am, man.
Yeah.
I have questions.
Yeah, I got all kinds of questions about that damn thing. Also with us, and finally, Brian, he's also based on a true story of it.
So true. We'll take two cups of your stereotype diner specialty coffee, honey. Thanks. All right, Chris. Thanks for filling me in on how lax the security is at your job. I think I've come up with a really good plan for how we can take all that money. So, since there's a guard at the front door, I think we're going to have to go through the roof and then punch in 1234 on the keypad, bypass the deaf dog, and then grab the cash. Now, I want to keep things quiet, so it'll just be me and Vinny and Tony busting in. Now, you also told me that there's bags of cash in a basket on the front desk with a sign that says free samples, so we're going to need a diversion. Again, I want to keep things quiet, so I'm going to have Gino Jr., Frankie, and Paulie making a ruckus outside the gate. Okay, I think all that's left is getting away with all that money. It really helps that your armored car company stores the cash in wheelbarrows so we can get it out to the van where I'll have Jojo Biscuits, Dino, Eddie, Mikey Fingers, Uncle Marco, Angelo, Mario, Luigi, Mickey, and Blind Franco. But let's just try to keep this between us, okay?
Yeah. There's a few mouths. A few mouths in this film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the way, pour one out for Polly Walnuts, passed away a couple of days ago.
Yeah, James Caan and Polly Walnuts died the weekend we're doing a movie with the worst mob voices.
Yeah.
And a true story. How much is it based on a true story? I don't think very much, other than a few, maybe some monies.
I don't know.
I actually think you're answering the main question of our viewing of this movie right out of the gate. And that is, what, you know, like, how did this movie get made as though it's going to be in theaters? And then someone realized, oh, no one's going to want to have paid to watch this, so we can't do that. And you just, like, you brings you all the way back around to how does this movie exist? I don't understand how this movie exists. And I think the answer is because the true story is actually really freaking interesting, and the movie somehow doesn't translate that. The really interesting true story
doesn't
come through.
You're right. It doesn't get it. It doesn't get to the heart of it, which is really odd. The movie is Empire State, by the way, and it is based on a true story. The dude who Liam Hemsworth plays shows up at the end in a little brief interview thing. I kind of do, but I kind of hate him.
Kind of hate him too. Yeah, I mean it too.
Because look at this ultra handsome freaking actor you hired to play this total little bum nub. Like,
yeah.
It just doesn't fit my head, you know?
Yeah. Like, and I think after watching this, I think we can safely say Liam Hemsworth is not the charismatic Hemsworth brother.
Is that the conclusion? Because I feel like I've seen him in other things where I'm like, yeah, he's like, he is charismatic, but then
is he?
Maybe
because I watched him in Hunger Games and it was the exact same. Oh,
okay. Well, maybe I'm remembering all the people that were around him in Hunger Games.
Yeah. Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I'm forgetting that he was different than them somehow.
Yeah. He's his other brother, the one in Westworld. Forget his name. Clumpy. Yeah. Clumpy Jr., whatever it is.
We're giving all the we're really.
I used to. I can't get the names right, but he's pretty interesting as an actor, but he's not the good looking. He's not the good lookingest of the three. And I think, you know, obviously Chris is the one with all the with the most muscles, the most acting chops, the most comedy, the most drama, the most money. Like, yeah. He's the one that, like, when they go to Thanksgiving, everyone's like, oh, there's Chris again with all his success.
Right, yeah. Chris right. Hemsworth got to pick from column A, column B, and column C, while his two brothers pretty much just got to pick what was left.
Yeah, that's basically it. The brother in Westworld looks like a little piece of, like, meat gristle. He's not really, he's not an ugly guy. He's just like a normal ass looking dude. And I kind of like that about him. So, you know, perfection aside, I don't think he's even the problem with this movie. I think the problem with the movie is, here's what I think. If they would have told me up front that this was based on a real story, I think I would have forgiven it more, because there's a lot of exposition.
Yeah,
it's the description,
very first thing, right? The very first thing is you are watching newsreels from 40 years ago, right?
I thought that was all like made up
stuff.
Yeah, because here's why is my number one complaint about the movie, and it's kind of, maybe this is petty and dumb, I don't know, but whoever's decision it was, and I'll put it in our Discord so you guys can see what I'm looking at while I talk about it. Whoever decision it was to use this as the poster.
Yeah,
was trying,
I mean,
to create,
it's all about The Rock, right?
Yeah, they were trying to create a Michael Bay looking. I mean, look at these sparks underneath everybody,
right? And that building behind them is, there's no building like that.
It's the Empire State Building specifically.
It is, right? Yeah. Which has no importance in this film whatsoever.
No. Yeah, it has none.
Getting lots of Emma Roberts and Liam Hemsworth, right? We're like, yeah, this is going to be like a love triangle. We don't.
Yeah,
I would, none
I would
of that
like
stuff.
I would like to believe that Dito Montiel was forced to record this entire movie in Louisiana because it would be cheaper than making the movie in New York, what does that tell you right out of the gate?
Yeah, hey, that tells you something.
We can't let you make your movie called New York State in New York State. Yeah.
It does seem like an odd thing, but like, Emma Roberts is barely in this. She's in it more than Dwayne Johnson, it feels like. I mean, that's probably not true, but he's barely in it. Like, the
it
ride.
Actually feels like all three of them got famous later. Like, I know that's not true, but it feels like it.
Well,
it feels like all three of them got famous later, and then that's why the poster was made like 6 years later.
Yeah, but also the prominence of The Rock on this poster, what that tells me is we're, what, 2014 here, 2013?
2013.
It feels like one of those transition movies in his career where when they started filming, things hadn't really taken off yet.
Right.
They finished filming and went, oh, shit. The Rock is huge now.
He's
more huge.
Yeah, we got to go ahead and make this the main part of our poster. So all of that to me is just misleading. That doesn't look like a movie based on a real story. That looks like a movie based on hot summer action summer at Film Sack summer.
Right, right. And that's what we were sold, right, from the poster. But yeah. I'm going to say that I kind of like this movie.
Oh, I want to defend this movie. I absolutely will try to defend this movie. I'm close to saying that you, the listener, should watch the movie. I mean, it's on Netflix.
I feel like you should watch the movie. I'm curious to see how you defend it, because I don't feel like you're watching it because, oh my God, I almost missed out on this cinematic masterpiece.
But I want to draw a circle around what I said a minute ago, because I want to make it really, really clear. I am not saying that these three people weren't yet famous. I'm saying that it feels like they weren't famous when you watch them in this movie. Like they were like, you're looking back to that first movie that people were in when you're like, oh wow, how'd they get The Rock for this? How'd they get Liam Hemsworth for this? You know, but it feels like it. Like at this point, The Rock had been famous for like 15 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And Liam Hemsworth was coming out of like making a couple of pretty big movies. If you haven't seen The Last Song, like admittedly it's directed at teenagers, but The Last Song is a pretty big movie. I mean, for a guy like him, you know, mm-hmm. And this movie. So I'm saying this movie, Empire State, should have, you know, it should have been on a certain level. And it's like kind of surprising when you're watching it and you're going, man, it's really not on that level at all, ever.
It's just kind of a mob story. And I'm into those. Like I rewatched Goodfellas the other day just because I was in the mood. And maybe that's part of the problem is I just watched Goodfellas, one of the greatest, if not greatest, mob films ever made. Also based roughly on a true story. But such a masterpiece that I then went to Empire State and I went, oh, okay, well
it's barely a mob. I mean, yeah, the mob is involved, but the mob doesn't have to be involved for the story.
Yeah.
You know, it's a heist, and even
it's a nice
barely,
coloring,
barely
it's
a heist,
for it.
Barely right. even a heist movie yeah. because it's barely a heist.
I love the heist. I do love the, that they injected the heist plan in the yeah. middle of it. It's like, here's our heist plan as told by a couple of no good Nick losers.
On the back of a placemat.
Back of a placemat that he puts in his locker.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. and the most like visceral moment is probably a moment that never happened, which was the shootout with the guy in the office there. I forgot his name, but that was like this moment of like, whoa, dude, they're serious. Look at them shoot each other up. And Eddie goes running. And then The Rock shows up just in time to find him at the phone booth, but not in time to stop the crime. That's so weird. Yeah. But anyway, like all of that stuff worked okay. It's just there's so much exposition, so much like, I wanted to be a cop, but instead I'm tempted by this money bag. And I don't know. It felt like small crimes. Didn't feel like a big deal.
That's what I liked about it. It was small crimes. It was a small story. It was small crimes, and really, probably just it had big actors for some reason.
What is this movie about? Like, how couldn't this movie do better? It's just weird to me. Like, I guess it could have been a limited series, right? Like, it could have taken some time to give you the characters. Like, who are these guys?
Kind of like
what's motivating them?
Limited series is not a bad idea because right then you develop the characters, you complete the heist, and then there's that after thing. I mean, like, all right, what happened when they went to prison? I'd be curious, you know, and the trial right. and that sort of thing. They could go that far.
It felt to me like there were at least five parts. It could have been a 5-episode limited series, right? And like I was actually trying to like sketch this out, right? Like the first one, just this weird thing where they basically figure out what's going on. Like that's all you need for a first episode is the revelation that there's a freaking pile of money in a room. You know what I mean? It's really interesting. And the movie just goes right on past that. And it never actually cares to look into how did this pile of money come to be? How are all these people just coming and going, clocking in and out while there's a pile of money? Like that you could have given me more and I would have wanted it. Like the movie almost fails because it doesn't give you enough understanding of what the hell's going on.
I like the small story because I think of this like Staying Alive. It's like this small.
Sorry, go ahead. I'll let you. No, I'm serious. Want you to finish, but you even invoked
someone
one
just
of the
punched
worst
Scott in the gut.
One of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
I think it's good, especially okay. So we have movies during the 70s that kind of explored some of this stuff. It's kind of like modern fairy tale stories, you know, cautions for children or people becoming adults. It's like, hey, watch out for your friends, because that's what it's really all about. It's all about, his Liam's dad trying to keep, you know, the best he can to keep his son straight. And sorry, Pops, you know, he just keeps messing up. And it's partially because of this loose cannon friend he has. And if any of you guys ever grew up with a loose cannon friend who kind of like, you don't know why you hang out with him. It's like, why am I even hanging out with this idiot? He keeps getting me in trouble. That's where this whole story felt for me. It was like this small personal story.
If I hadn't have seen it done better and it was called Season 2 of The Wire, I'd probably agree with you.
That's the thing. We've all seen movies about dudes set in New York City at every time, like New York City in the 90s, New York City in the 70s. And because we've seen Midnight Cowboy or Carlito's Way or whatever, because we've seen those movies, this movie gets to just skip over a bunch of shit. And like go right to they're sitting in a diner planning a heist, and you're like, but you haven't earned this yet. I need you to explain to me who these people are, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
they're all pretty simple people. I think you don't have to explain anything. They're all very just simple characters. You know, Saturday Night Fever it feels right in with that for me.
Yeah.
I like that part of it.
Sometimes I'm down with it. I guess again, once I got into it, I was like, oh, okay, this is just a very different movie and I need to change my mindset. Yeah. And once I did, it was fine. I guess I'm also a little bummed at the end that footage of the actual character, the guy that, you know, the character is based on, is sitting at that table and indicates that he still knows where the $1 million is and nobody else does.
Mm-hmm. And it's then kind they, of a Robin then, Hood story.
Then they show that freaking, they show that stupid statue as he's saying it.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
I could think of was like, it's not in the damn statue anymore.
Yeah.
You told.
It was probably never in the statue. I mean, that was just a plot device that they used. You know, because I'm sure when they wrote the story, this guy's really good at keeping his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Whereas his friend Eddie wouldn't shut the f up. This guy's really good at keeping his mouth shut.
Pretty good. He's pretty good at keeping his mouth shut because he told Eddie.
Foolishly told Eddie.
Yeah. But Julia Roberts' niece already took it out and went somewhere else with it. Like,
right. I'd be worried about, you know, garden statues all over New York after this movie came out, except for the fact that, that's all right. Nobody saw this movie. All those statues are just fine.
They're all safe.
That's a good point. I mean, whatever. I just, you know, like, also, how do you go to jail for 9 years? He was in for 9 years. I did a little background checking on this dude. And in the 9 years, he was never either compelled legally or otherwise to tell anybody where the damn money was stashed.
They kind of discussed that through Eddie in this film. I mean, they kind of understood. They understood that as far as money goes, especially dirty money, illegal money, you can kind of get away with that kind of crap. If you trade out, it's like, I'll trade out time. I'll trade out this many years of my life in jail for this amount of money and danger. You know, Eddie kept saying, what's the worst that could happen? Well, the worst that could happen is you get shot in the face by a bunch of Colombians. But, most likely he's like, he'll just go to jail.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. I love Eddie. I love the actor who plays Eddie.
He's good.
The whole time I'm love thinking him. His name is Michael Angarano. He was the young version of the main character in Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
He was also Sky High, the main
is he really?
Yeah. He was the kid in Sky High. He's a good actor. He's a trope.
I don't think he was the main character, young version of the main character in
He was in it.
He was a friend of his, wasn't he?
No.
The main character is what's
the writer,
his name?
The writer kid.
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name?
He was. God, he just looks so different in that.
Patrick Fugit.
Fugit.
Oh, gotcha. Right. The real, like, okay. Not the, I was, that's what I was getting confused by. I was thinking, like, because already the character in Almost Famous is already a young guy.
Right.
So I was like, that's not him.
Yeah. But
there's just a young version of him. Yeah. Couple of scenes of him in, like, first grade, and he's in the car yelling at his mom because she's
the younger version of the young kid.
Yeah.
Michael Angarano, not like a storied career at all, but I just felt like he really knocks it out of the park as this guy that you're not supposed to like, but you're also not supposed to really understand why Chris remains friends with them, except that he's always around. He's a bad friend that we have all had at one time or another. Yeah, yeah. Everyone has had this friend, and I felt like he played it perfectly.
He's also the Edward Norton Jr. in Rounders, you know, nervous getting the main character into trouble. He's Kyle Mooney's nervous wise guy character from Saturday Night Live. I mean,
he's a trope, but I love it.
He's an over-the-top trope.
Yep.
I really genuinely thought, man, if they'd gotten Sam Rockwell to play this character. Like, that would have been really
awesome. Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, golly, it feels like, has Sam Rockwell ever played a character like that? Like,
whole movie.
The nervous buddy, the one that blows everything.
I wouldn't be surprised. It feels like Rockwell's been that 20 times.
It really does. His character in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is the thing that I was thinking of. Like, he kind of reminded me of that. The character in this movie, Eddie, reminded me of that character from Sam Rockwell. But he really, I thought, man, Ed Norton in the 90s was also kind of like in this.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. I was thinking the Rounders character was very much like the, you know, Eddie.
So anyway,
Damon of Chris or of Liam, check his pulse worth.
Anyway, I liked it, but I will totally
come on. I like Liam in this.
Yeah,
he's so damn boring. Oh my gosh,
but I love it. I think
this would have been a better movie with somebody. They don't have to be over the top charismatic, not at all. But livelier, like you know, just
have some energy.
Have some energy, exactly. Yeah,
we know you work out, Liam. So show some of that workout energy.
I don't know. I kind of, I don't know. I'm not going to defend this movie. Okay, I'm going to defend this movie. I'm not going to defend this movie. But I did like, I liked Liam's just, I'm so stuck. I'm just
stuck. Yeah, but I think another actor could telegraph that better. Like, portray that feeling of, first off, you have to be able to portray the, like, oh my God, there's that money. It would certainly help my family. It would certainly help me get out of this. Well, I could sell my Trans Am, but we'll talk about that, I'm sure.
Right.
But like, all these problems we're having, that money sure would help. But God, I want to be a cop, and this like completely goes against my whole Boy Scout goodness for that. And it just was like, it didn't feel like that decision was difficult for him at all.
I felt like Liam played this exactly how I feel like I would act if I lived this life. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be so stuck. You know, your parents are good. Your parents are good to you. You really have no excuse for, you know, staying friends with this, you know, this idiot, other than you feel sorry for him. And you just can't stop. And you're kind of good on the inside because you're kind of like this Robin Hood kind of guy. It's like, oh, I want fair things, but I just can't get unstuck. And he kept saying, sorry, Pops. And every time he said, sorry, Pops, it just...
Yeah.
It just right through the heart.
You know what's funny is the guy that played, speaking of season two, the guy that played his dad was the Greek mob boss in season two of The Wire. Like, everything about this movie is The Wire season two light for me.
Paul Ben Victor, is that who you're talking about? Because God, he's got he's so smooth.
He's been around forever. He's
character also smooth. Like, constant character actor too. That guy.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with him.
Have any of you guys seen Money for Nothing? The Joey Coyle.
Chicks for Free
story. So that's it's a John Cusack plays this guy named Joey Coyle, based on a true story, Philadelphia.
A better movie.
A bag of money literally falls off a truck.
I have seen this movie.
Yeah, I have not.
$1.2 million, or not a truck, out of an armored car. $1.2 million bag of money falls out, and
I have seen this.
Yes,
this is a great movie.
It is a great movie, and I kept thinking about that, saying, God, why is that so much? Why does that feel so much better than this coming out 10 years earlier, 20 years earlier.
Yeah.
And it feels so much more solid and well,
So
it feels like there are stakes in that one that there aren't in this one.
Yeah. So that's what's good about the John Cusack is an amazing actor. Yeah. But when I watch Money for Nothing, and by the way, I think this was like, was this straight to video as well? Can't remember. Anyway, it was. Okay.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was Money for Nothing and it was straight to video. And Cusack plays it not like I would do. If I was to find this money, I wouldn't act like John Cusack. I would act like more like Liam Neeson. I guess maybe Liam Neeson. Why not?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson in this film.
Yeah.
I'm in. Nothing is, it is 20 years older, and it is absolutely chock full of all of the joy and fear and fun.
Yes.
And concerns that you would expect for someone in this situation. Whereas Empire State, it cuts so fast to, oh, now his other friend is killing the guy who they think leaked the information on the side of the street. And boom, okay, well, now we're back to him at his desk. And I'm just like, hey, slow down, movie.
Yeah.
Like, let's have some interstitial stuff. Like, it doesn't have to be completely meaningless.
Get some pie from Emma Roberts. Come on, Emma.
Yeah.
That guy, by the way, getting killed is Turtle from Entourage.
Ah, yes. Turtle. Yeah. Cool. I never saw that show. Never seen the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, I disagree. I think, Scott, now listen, I think you should watch the first half of the first season of Entourage. That will give you the whole thing.
Okay.
It will never surpass what you see in the first like 7 episodes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Worth doing that? I mean, like, really spending time. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
At least you'll know. Like, everybody watched Entourage.
Did they?
No, they did not. Scott,
never 50%, seen 50% of people watched Entourage.
Yeah. From our sampling here.
Everybody who had HBO in the days before streaming watched Entourage.
Right. I feel like I missed that whole boat. But anyway.
I did.
So this is, the very first film that Dito Montiel. How do you say his name? Montiel? Montiel. Directed it. Dito. Anyway, this is the first movie he directed that didn't feature Channing Tatum.
No. Oh, and if and it shows too, because I feel like Channing Tatum could have
that would have been
right
interesting,
in
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, yeah. See, Brian.
I'm not saying that it couldn't be performed better. I'm just saying it was performed fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Okay. Yeah, fine.
I think
true.
Channing Tatum also would have been played the Rock's role just as easily. Oh, yeah. Anyone could have played that role. I don't understand it.
We needed The Rock and his partner because the two actors are both last named Johnson. So mm-hmm. every time they appear on screen, it was Johnson and Johnson.
Johnson and Johnson. Johnson.
Yeah.
I love that they made a guy named Johnson call another guy Johnson. That's awesome. Yes. Big fan.
I just want to point out again, I feel like I say this regularly, Channing Tatum is not the young, hot thing that you think he is. He is 42 years old, man.
Well, yeah.
He's 42.
He's still
young and
hot. He's still a good-looking dude, though. He's still ripped.
To me, that's young and hot.
Yeah. Okay.
I love that The Rock and his partner, I felt like his partner was like they were having a competition to see who could get to the most muscle. So they were like constantly working out. I also love their attitude. It's like such a different, it was really downplayed a lot, but it showed you two different worlds. They show you from, the detective's Dwayne, what was it? Ransom was his name. What a weird detective
Ransom.
Name.
Ransom.
Yeah. So he was, the things they were saying was like, money didn't mean nothing to them because they had a job and it was stable. And, to Liam Hemsworth, the Chris character, everything was, it was chaos. Money was super important. Yeah. So I appreciated those little small nuances in the film that this movie is a small movie. It went to video for a reason. It's a small movie. I enjoyed my little hour and a half romp. Yeah. Sure.
I don't regret the hour and a half I spent watching this movie, but I just regret that it had a lot of potential that could have been done so much better with other.
I would also argue that I know I keep harping on this, but the poster looks like it's a modern setting.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't look like something from the 80s. Like nobody on that front of that cover, including The Rock, nobody looks like 1982 in that shot.
No.
I'm curious if this was the original cover though, because I'm curious to know if this is the original poster. I feel like maybe that once it went to streaming or something, maybe they redid this or something. I don't know either,
but you're right. It feels out of place. It doesn't feel like it belongs here, and it bugs me, and that's going to annoy me no matter how far into this episode we get. It's going to
be marketing lies make me angry. We talked about this many
especially
times.
Especially ones that are just over the top like that.
Going back in time through the posters, yes. What you're seeing is the most recent poster.
Right.
Probably for the Blu-ray release or something like that.
Right.
I'm trying to find
if you click back.
Oh, oof, other posters.
It's a big oof, dude.
Oof.
Really?
Well, there's lots of explosions of the ones I'm seeing.
Are those what in photos?
Original folded poster. I'm looking at one here. I'll put this in the chat. I don't know if you guys, but this is like original trash that came out.
Oh, geez. Okay. Back in the day.
The day was only 8 or 9 years ago, Scott. That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
I don't. Every one of these posters, though, doesn't look like it was made in the. It wasn't made in 1983. These all look like they're meant to be now.
That's misleading as hell, right? Yeah.
The original one, the one I just sent you guys, the original folded movie poster that probably came with a DVD or something. It looks like Dwayne the Rock is there with his buddy Liam, and they're all they're partners, and they're fighting crime.
It looks like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Not only that, the Rock is kind of put in the back and on the side thing of the other third poster I'm looking at. Liam Hemsworth gets top billing, and the Rock does not.
Yeah.
So I don't know what
marketing, baby.
I don't like it. I feel like, it's not, none of it feels real to me because the movie itself
is
just,
of these look like buddy cop. Like it's really just the two of them up. Hold on a second. Here's this one, which is maybe Italian or French.
Italian.
Look at this one I'm putting in our chat. So this is, I want to say it is, this is the French version. Oh, wow. It's processing a long time. There we go.
It's really like you can be sure that there was an English version of that.
Yeah, for sure. But how misleading to have a badge barely visible in Liam Hemsworth's.
No,
it's that's freaking hideous. Okay. Yeah, also the way they're like, Liam Hemsworth, you know, Hunger Games, it says underneath.
Right. Dude, I'd be pissed if I saw this poster and watched the film. I mean, yeah.
Does anybody have, any of you guys have a movie poster in your history that was so misleading that you still remember it?
This one.
This one. All right. This one right here.
Let me think about that. There's probably.
Because I sure do.
Yeah. Give us, really? What is it?
A couple, actually, but the one that came right to mind was Rocky V. Mm-hmm. Rocky V, the movie poster has only two people on it, and it's both Sylvester Stallone. It is two different
movies. Yeah, I forgot about
Sylvester
that.
Sylvester Stallone with an American flag behind him.
Yeah.
It's both Sylvester Stallone, and you go to see Rocky V, and it is not about him, and he's not boxing at the end of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go You're with right. Star yeah. Wars: A New Hope for that bullshit because he didn't, you know, Luke's on the front of that with a zapper, man. He's where's his lightsaber? Yeah, yeah. Fail.
Do you like that one better though, Randy? It's the one that's just got big words. Go for it.
No, I don't want it anymore at all.
Standing next to it.
It is not. It is probably the most misleading one I can think of.
All I can hear in my head is Crazy Climber and the voice sample that goes, "Go for it. Go for it."
Find any movie poster for Terminator 3 and it does not tell you what Terminator 3 is actually about. And right. I like Terminator 3. I just want to say, I like Terminator 3. I really, really do. But my gosh, every movie poster for Terminator 3 looks like a completely different movie.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's your Star Wars poster, by the way, in there. Yeah. Yeah. That's not what we got.
Nope. I mean, it's this stylized, crazy, fever dream version of what we got. But yeah, it's pretty off. It's pretty
Mark
off.
Mark Hamill never once took his shirt off and gave me all of his pics. Not one time.
I think that's okay because it's one of three. It's a series of three posters that all have the same visual language.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't feel like you go to a Star Wars movie and you look at the poster and say, well, that's not what the movie's about. It's kind of like,
yeah,
ripping it down on their way out,
trying to find some that are more like overt. I'm having a hard time finding.
I posted two more Rocky V movie posters in there. The Japanese one looks like it's a pile of meat under a spotlight when you first glance
at it. I thought it was a human
that's
fetus.
That's an accurate portrayal of Rocky. That's perfect.
It's not a human fetus. Wait, what is it?
Yeah.
Oh, they use Ghoulies as the example.
Gloves. Oh, it's boxing gloves. Okay.
Why is the Abyss on
I'm pretty sure it's meat, though. It looks like I'm with you guys. It looks like meat.
Meat.
I'm offended by the Rocky V poster where he's holding four fingers down on each hand. I don't understand it.
Oh,
he's on top of some ropes. He's standing outside some ropes. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I know. I thought the same thing. I thought, was he holding a bar?
Looked to me like he was making gang signs. Like whatever, four fingers straight down is, he's...
It would have been better for Rocky IV with the four fingers.
Oh, that makes sense.
I came into this episode of Film Sack wondering what in the world we were going to talk about. But yeah, movie posters, man, this is great.
Yeah, this is great.
This one I found is supposed to be the number one.
That's fantastic.
Godzilla versus Megalon.
I'm guessing that's not what was delivered.
They don't do it. They don't get on the Twin Towers and fight.
They're on top of the Twin Towers. We got Godzilla and Megalon on the top of the
World absolutely Trade does not Towers. Happen in that movie. Not even. I don't even think they're in New York. I think it's all in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is weird.
It's like Man on Wire, or American. Is the same poster, but without Godzilla.
We should watch that. By the way,
Godzilla or Man on Wire.
Man on Wire.
No. Just, the Godzilla versus Megalon. Yeah. Megalon.
Oh God, we haven't done a Godzilla. I'm a huge Godzilla. We've done modern Godzilla.
Yeah, I want to do an old dubbed one. Is what I want. I want to do like the 72 Japan one where everyone's going, what's on the horizon? I want that.
I want the one with the weird Japanese girl twin tiny miniature people. And I don't know if that really exists or if it was
you're talking about the
they're like two twin Japanese group. Women that were holding hands.
You got it.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right.
Yeah. You got it.
All right. Well,
this topic is reminding me.
No, I'll send you a picture. Hold on a second.
I'm reminded of this funny thing where the poster for Reservoir Dogs has a person on it that no one knows who it is.
What?
So it's really? So it's like the poster for Reservoir Dogs is like the characters from the movie, and they're all wearing basically the same suit.
That. Hey Brian, you want to type that into Google, not into Discord?
No, I was doing this. I was doing this.
Okay,
gotcha. I'm looking here. That's Randy? It's the Reservoir Dogs one where it's kind of silhouetted. Is that the one?
Yeah. It's like a pretty famous movie poster.
Yeah.
And my memory of this like 30 years ago is that people would point at the poster and say, "Who's the guy in the middle?" And like otherwise it's the cast. But then there's this like just like random figure. Weird. Like no that isn't.
Wait, are you talking about the one that's got just the four of them? Oh, the brown one. Okay, yeah. Hold on. That's not the one I was looking at.
Who is that?
And it's I Michael guess
Madsen it's in the middle.
No, Michael Madsen's out front.
Oh, that's some of the left. Oh, that's the Penn.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Penn. There's five names down there. So six names. Yes. Yeah, so 1, 2, 3. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's Chris Penn, who wasn't Penn? Ever in a suit like that and did not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Weird. It's just a weird thing. Like that doesn't. It's okay. Like the style of the movie, obviously, right?
Yeah.
That's what they're aiming for.
Why would you have Tarantino? Since he was in a suit, he was one of the guys who got shot.
Yeah, exactly. That's weird. It's just a weird thing.
Mr. Pink. That was Buscemi.
Yeah,
that's such a good movie too.
Oh my god, What a strange movie. Like now that we're 30 years past Reservoir Dogs, what a strange movie. Like
it's very weird.
I'm confused about how it made total sense to me at the time.
Well, I think it remains what it was, which is a stylistic, overly bloody, ridiculous thing. What I didn't know this till like last week. And I don't know why. Maybe you guys are all gonna laugh at me now. But the guy that took the ear off the other dude, what's his name?
Michael Madsen.
Is supposed to be in the character is the brother to Travolta's character in
Vincent Vega.
Yeah, they're both Vegas, and they're brothers. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
That blew my mind.
I didn't know that. Now we all know it.
Yeah, saw that the other day.
Three fourths of us didn't know that, Randy. Yeah.
I probably did at one point because. Like I say, I was watching all these movies and hanging out with people who talked about crap like this.
Yeah.
I just think Michael Madsen is such an interesting like quantity because like he's at the same time really not a good actor and a fantastic actor when he's in the perfect role for him.
Yeah. You know? You just got to be the right guy. Oh, yeah. Well, it turns out he's pretty damn good in almost anything he's been in with Tarantino. I love him in Hateful Eight. I thought his role.
His sister is a fantastic actor in everything.
She's that Virginia?
Virginia Madsen.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were. See, now's a new thing I learned. I didn't know they were related.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just read about the whole Sideways effect of Merlot. Like, Sideways really tanked the Merlot wine industry, thanks to Paul Giamatti saying, "I'm not going to drink the effing Merlot."
Yeah. Did it really? Did that have like a? I didn't know.
Yeah, it had a huge effect and boosted sales of Pinot Noir, which he says, which he only talks about for a second, saying that he likes it. Everyone's like, "Oh, he hates Merlot. He likes Pinot Noir. I'm never gonna buy Merlot again, and I'm gonna only buy Pinot Noir."
I did not know that.
Maybe I knew that at some point. But I've totally forgot.
So
about
just a week ago, I drove through that whole part of the country and that, you know, cause like Sideways is about a couple of guys going up to the wine country that's just north of LA. And I can't get over how many people I saw driving into like Ojai or Solvang in a situation that looked like it was out of the movie Sideways. Like they're in a convertible, that's like a couple of people who look like they've been wine tasting all month.
right.
I saw so many people like that.
Yeah, and see, if I'm going to Solvang, I'm having a split pea soup because that's what Solvang is known for.
Yeah,
interesting. So you're telling me that Sideways takes that not because MC Gainey's junk flapping, it was totally because of that.
Kim and I recently watched Justified, and that first season's all MC Gainey all over the place. And all I could think of every time I saw that guy was his giant wiener on the glass. That's all I could think of.
It was coming at you. It was swinging. It was.
It was no good, man. Nightmare. It was a nightmare is the perfect word for it.
I love that I just mentioned Virginia Madsen and we're suddenly talking about MC Candy's
Why child. Not?
I love that.
Why not?
We could talk about Candyman, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sure. We watched Empire State, didn't we?
Yeah.
Giuliani was in it.
A fake Giuliani.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Fake Giuliani. Right.
Before we completely lose the thread on Dito Montiel, I came into this movie, I saw his name, and I'm like, okay, stop. I want to look up, what has this guy done before this that gave him this movie? He's made some movies. But none of them were any popular.
Yeah.
They all starred like major stars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like his three movies star like Robert Downey Jr. and Terrence Howard and Katie Holmes and Ray Liotta.
No.
Okay. And then like, but... Okay, so maybe he's like a really good director, like a visionary director. I never once in this movie saw a shot where I'm like, ooh, that's an interesting shot. Or, oh, I like what they're doing inside this room to show me what the room looks like. And nothing ever, not once in this entire movie.
Yeah, he did a movie in 2015 that I always meant to watch and didn't, called Man Down. It's before everybody hated Shia LaBeouf. But anyway, he's in that. Gary Oldman, Kate Mara, like an amazing cast. And it seemed interesting. It's like a post-apocalyptic America, but the Marines are still active. And I don't know, it's supposed to be this interesting take, but it's like fair to middling reviews.
2015 is not before everyone hated Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf started being hated in 2007 with Transformers and 2008 with Chris.
I've never hated Shia LaBeouf. I've loved him since Holes, and I don't hate him.
You should touch wieners with him when you see him.
I don't have to touch wieners with everybody I don't hate. That's just incorrect.
That's a really good statement, actually. I like that. Sure. I don't have to touch wieners with everyone I don't hate. That's great.
Right.
You know what? Live by those words. I think that's good.
I'm gonna make that the title of Dunaway's solo episode of Film Stack in a month.
Don't steal my Twitter post.
Listen to this crazy. So this guy, this Dito Montiel guy's got this in post-production or pre-production. A movie called Afterword with Beverly D'Angelo, Aaron Eckhart, Terrence Howard, George Lopez. What is this cast? This is weird, man.
I like it.
That's freaking weird. And then After Exile, what's this? This is in post-production. Robert De Niro, Shia LaBeouf. Like, some people in Hollywood, they make really mediocre stuff, but somehow they get these gigs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't get
it. They know people. They're connected somewhere or another.
I also think you have to be consistently competent. Like, you have to really show up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be a major Hollywood director, right? Yeah. You're the guy who is there before everybody else. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you're in charge. You got your fingers in everything. Like, you can't half-ass this career. And so I imagine that a guy like Dito Montiel is just that really energetic, constantly working guy. Right. I don't think that it has to do with your actual output. I really don't. Because like a movie like this, like, again, there's nothing here that's really special from a directorial standpoint.
Yeah, not really. Yeah. Also, what's her name's underused? Just want to put that out there. I like Emma Roberts. She's interesting.
I can't even remember her name. She's so underused. She's what's her face?
Eric Roberts' daughter. Yeah. She's really interesting in almost anything I can think of seeing her in. I liked her in those Scream movies and, you know, but other stuff.
We're the Millers. What a great underrated comedy.
That's a great show. That's such a great movie.
Yeah.
What a great show.
What a great film.
It is. It's really good. Like, it's legitimately funny and like kind of heartfelt at the end. And it's Jennifer Aniston and one of my favorite things I've seen her in. It's a good movie. We should watch.
Especially it. Underrated. It sounds like everybody loves it. Yeah. So I guess it's right.
It's rated. It's rated.
It's accurately rated. Competently rated.
Yeah, that's
speaking
pretty cool.
of women in this movie.
Yeah,
because there weren't any.
There was
one other one.
It was Ma. Hey Ma. Yeah. Come on, Ma.
Hey, Ma.
And there was the widow wife. Like Joey is the guy who gets killed, right?
Yeah, is married to a supermodel. What the frick?
Yeah, dude, no way. She was definitely skimming off the top.
Years younger than him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was so weird.
That was really weird. I
didn't even think about that, but yeah.
Oh, I did.
He definitely married up.
Yeah.
Are you telling me he's not pulling off the top? Really?
No, right.
Okay, so here, I'm gonna give you IMDb.
That was Lydia Hull?
Yes, there you go. Lydia Hull.
Oh, I thought it was Nikki Reed. Different lady?
Nikki Reed.
Nikki Reed.
I thought it was Vicky. Okay, never mind. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
There's Shea Grimes Beach.
It doesn't matter. These are the same woman.
Nikki Reed, I think, was the his little sister.
Oh. Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, prancing around the house, half naked girl. Got it.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
She was so chaotic.
I loved it.
that totally tracks.
It is just the weirdest thing in the entire movie, because like you have all of this tension between him and Eddie where it's like, hey, I just landed my hand, you know, I just landed $10,000 or whatever he's carrying around. Let's do something. And he's like, I'm going to go give it to this woman. Okay. Like, that's interesting. But then when he goes to the door and she answers it and you're like, well, who's that? Mm. Who is this woman? Like, that can't be 65-year-old Joey's widow. You know what I mean? Right.
There's no way. Yeah. How'd that guy end up with that guy? Plus, the daughter looks, like you said, too old. No way that works.
She barely has responsible. Maybe he just found a lady who was down on her luck, you know, and he was.
You're telling a better movie to me right now. You're describing a better movie.
I want to know their story. She apparently has a deal in Hollywood where she will appear in every movie that's based on a heist. Escape Plan. Just the movie Heist. All the escape plans, Escape Plan 2, Escape Plan, The Extractors.
Seems like she keeps getting caught back up and she keeps having to escape.
Because she got that Italian look, man. That's what they go for. They go for those Italians. She's done a really good job,
or her agent's done a really good job of keeping her age off of the internet. I cannot figure out how old this woman is.
Well, it says 90 right here on IMDb, right? Yeah, April 17th, 1990. I think you're saying the woman
who played Joey's widow was about 22 when they made this
that's
movie.
That's what it says.
Oh. It's about right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. And she even has a quote in here on her IMDb that's specific. Let's see. Here it is. It's not even the sense that we want to be older. We want to act more mature. I am often higher, or something about being higher because she looks mature. So there's that.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I hope I'm on the right person. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm looking down through the uncredited list now. Like, are we really on the right person?
I think we're on the right person. She did some movie this year called Hot Seat with Mel Gibson and Kevin Dillon and the guy who played the Crab Man in My Name is Earl.
I love the Crab Man. I love that guy. He's amazing. Although he's so typecast, it's impossible not to see Crabman.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, and Shannon Doherty as Chief Pam Connolly.
Oh my Lord.
I think I need to see this.
Sounds like a real
sign me up.
Real piece of
Chief
shit.
Chief Pam.
She was in that short-lived Magnum PI reboot, so that's cool.
Yeah,
she got to do that.
Oh, really?
In 2019.
So the credits.
I do hate we didn't get more of Sharon Angela as the mom, because she's got some chops. I like her.
She's
a
good actor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it awesome was an thing. Interesting little situation in their household. Like, why did this movie give me so much of the sister coming and going, and they're talking, you need to put some more clothes on, blah, blah. Like, there was a good long bit in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so we're going to find out more. Like, this is going to, there's going to be some familial struggle later or something.
They absolutely were establishing the fact that Chris what came from a solid family. I mean, they were trying to keep their nose clean. I like the smallness of this story.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
You do like the smallness. We've also
established the fact that this movie would have benefited maybe not from better actors, but from better pacing and better structure.
Saying, all right, here's
a story we could focus on. Maybe we have less of the, oh, I really want to be a police officer. And, you know, more of the.
I really want to be a police officer.
Yeah, you did. For some reason, you did it in the Billy Crystal voice.
Billy Crystal running scared voice. Yeah, well,
yeah, yeah.
Because you wouldn't be able to hear me if I was doing Liam Blansworth's voice.
No. It would have been too way too... Blansworth! Take that! I mean, I know you could bend us in half and eat us for lunch, but still, right. you're pretty cool, man. I mean, whatever. He just needs some roles that... He's such the pretty boy of the family. He doesn't have the beefcake quality of his brother.
I'm looking at him now, and I'm like, he's kind of... The picture that they have on IMDb, that is a really good photo of him. But stills from this film, it could be Jason Segel's little brother.
All right, I can see it. You're not wrong. Yeah. He's got lots of cool stuff coming up, though. So, you know.
Yeah.
He's got things.
I'm down with it. Yeah. You know, we didn't get to talk about what I didn't really understand was the whole Spiro location where they're constantly going back to the mini crime boss.
Yeah,
the mini crime boss in this. And there's always someone in the bathroom. I totally didn't understand that. It was like, it was such a plot device. The whole film, every time you went there, it's like, you're waiting on somebody to come out of the bathroom.
How long was that guy in the bathroom? Because Chris looked like he'd been sitting in that chair getting roughed up for like 15 minutes. And then I got somebody waiting in the bathroom. Come on out. Like, oh man, do I have to sit on the toilet and just wait? Isn't that gross?
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I like when it's not just purely like, here's an Italian mob boss, so here are all those stereotypes. Yeah, yeah. I like when they occasionally go,
Different. We're going to make them Greek.
Yeah, have some Greek. Yeah. Like, again, season 2 of The Wire was all about a Greek mob. Like, I like that. It's fun.
And that actor, Chris Diamantopoulos, weirdly played Mo in the Three Stooges movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
But also was in Red Notice with The Rock and with the guy who played Eddie. Three of them stuck around together. I know him best as one of the a-holes with money in Silicon Valley, the other movie that you watched if you had HBO. the TV show you watched.
Yeah.
I got a really weird fact about this cast list
This
movie.
Give it.
They all appeared in Red Notice?
The Rock plays, I think this is a real name, like they pulled the name of the leading detective on the actual case and gave it to him.
Close to it. They changed the N to an M for ransom.
Yeah.
That's okay. Ransom. Yeah. Well, the cast list has The Rock playing James Ransom. Mm-hmm. And then also has an actor named James Ransom.
Yes. Playing somebody
one
else.
Letter difference.
Oh. Right.
Oh, right. What that was in the trivia that they actually pulled the guys, like they came up with the detective's name based on this other actor, I think.
Why the hell? No, that can't be true.
I think, let me see if I can find it. There's only like five pieces of trivia about this film.
Yeah, it's really short trivia page.
Producer over here, and she just said that she's cast a guy named James Ransom.
Never mind. Yeah, that's
the name of a character.
It's just coincidental. Yeah, Dwayne Johnson plays a character named James Ransom, a name similar to real life actor James Ransom, who also appears in this movie. That's right. I thought I made the leap in my head that it was, hey,
that's because you were looking to make the movie more exciting.
I was.
Yeah. All these little things this movie has almost no trivia. And by the way, it has almost no tropes on TV tropes because it's based on a real story. And it makes you wonder, maybe tropes are good. Maybe we need them.
Every Italian voice in this film is a trope, or every Italian character. And
I picked one. I thought looking at the TV tropes page, I was like, you know what? There's really one trope in this movie for me that like really stands out. And that's the, with friends like these, that's the trope of Eddie. Eddie is, the person who is your friend, but is responsible for everything bad that's ever happened to you,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and this idea that you can't shake him. Ibbett was alluding to this earlier, like you just cannot get rid of that friend, and that's tropey as hell. Because I'll tell you what, I'd get rid of that friend. I'd be done.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Long time ago. There's nothing about that friendship that's keeping anything going. Like
he's gonna drag you to hell, is what he's.
Yeah,
gonna do
high school would have been it. You'd have been like, well, ever since Eddie set fire to that gas station, we're done with Eddie. Mm-hmm. Eddie is no longer in my life.
The pinnacle of the with friends like these trope is Bad Boys. Bad Boys you almost struggle to understand why these two people would have anything to do with each other. You know,
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember that movie at all. I have so no memory.
You're talking about the one, you're talking about the Sean Penn one or the Martin Lawrence Will Smith thing?
Will Smith is a loose cannon, so I mean it's true.
Oh no, if you're talking
Martin
bad,
Lawrence is always trying to play it straight.
I'm thinking of Boys in the Hood. I'm an idiot. Never mind.
Oh.
Totally different movie.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah,
I have no memory of Boys in the Hood. Bad Boys 1 and 2.
Wait, by the way,
are there
Bad
three?
Boys in the Hood?
Bad Boys in the Hood. I don't know. I haven't seen Fridays either, so maybe I'm mixing all my things up. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Or Fridays? Friday.
There's a related trope here called heterosexual life partners. We talked about it before, where you're like, are these two guys, are they, like, what kind of friendship is this? You know what I mean? Like,
What, you think they're getting handies out in the parking lot or what? What do you think's going on there?
Yeah, that's okay. But basically, okay. Heterosexual life partners trope is where you're like, these are two straight men, but they're really close. Like,
yeah, interesting.
You know, I'm
because, pretty close to you guys, but I don't, me and Ibbet never went in the back alley and, you know,
right.
You know what I mean?
But I guess there's a thing with tropes, right? Because you use them as a sort of like interpretive language, right? You're giving the audience something that's familiar and that everybody can kind of understand. Mm-hmm. And like at the bottom of the trope is a question always, you know, like sometimes it's, you know, the question, well, why would they do that? You know,
yeah.
But like in a lot of these movies where you have two friends and one of them is kind of like an idiot that you would never be friends with. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to start asking the question, what are they kind of in love a little, you know, like, does that explain it?
Yeah. I mean, maybe a little bit, but I don't know. I didn't even think about it. I don't know. I guess I'm used to like, I have a lot of man friends, so I never think about it.
I just, it was all your friends were primarily the people who live closest to you. It's like real estate.
Yeah, right.
That's
location,
the friend.
Location.
Yeah, it is location. Yeah. Yeah. It's who had the Genesis? Who had the NES? Yeah. Oh, he does. I'm going over there. Why? Because he's two blocks away. It's like.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever watch House, Scott?
No. The Doctor House? The House Doctor? Yeah. No, I did not. Never saw it. Okay.
It's a really good example of what I'm talking about, where you have these two characters played by Hugh Laurie and Robert Sean Leonard, who are, I guess, friends. Like there's no explanation for why Robert Sean Leonard's character puts up with Hugh Laurie's character for so freaking long when he should just fire him and get on with his life. And like, so you eventually go, okay, heterosexual life partners. That makes sense. Like they're not actually having sex, but they have feelings for each other, you know, that just, that's the only way to make sense of it.
Yeah. You know? It just transcends, you know, your friendship and you like a guy.
In the Shaun of the Dead movies.
Well put, I think.
In the Shaun of the Dead movies, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. Pegg and Nick Frost are perfect examples of this.
Yeah. But I always felt like that's something I wanted more of. Like I had a friend for a long time, his name was Andrew, and we used to hang out all the time. And then marriage and kids come, and then it's like, oh man, it's just kind of hard to sync schedules and whatever. So you kind of fall apart or whatever. But during that time when we were just single dudes hanging out, I spent every waking minute, like we'd go to every movie that came out. We were always eating out together. We were always going to whatever, like just constantly, you know, surfing the freaking record store with each other just because we could. And I loved that era. Like it was so much fun. But then, you know, life gets complicated and weird. And, you know, I always picture Nick Frost and what's his beak hanging out all the time, even though they probably don't now, right? They probably don't hang out every day, but I always think they do.
Yeah, I actually, my best friend was a person that I grew up a mile away from. We went to the same schools. We didn't know each other. And then he and I got an apartment together in college, like 100 miles away from where we grew up. We finally met. And he and I got an apartment together in college. We lived together for a couple of years. And then like that continued like to the point where it was like he was a part of every day of my life. You know, like he and I both got married and they, you know, I became the godfather of his first child. And he like he was regularly referred to as my first wife. That was always like the joke. I'm trying to not name him because we haven't spoken in years and he's a Trumpist and whatever. But the point is like I could see I had people kind of roll up on me and say, hey, what's going on between you guys? You know, like there was something more than that's just the stasis you fall into with a friend sometimes, you know.
And you said a Trumpist, I really honestly thought you meant he plays the trumpet.
The trumpet.
Yeah, that's too much.
I hate him too. If I couldn't live with a Trumpist either.
Yeah, those Trumpists.
Shut up over there.
Yeah, quiet. Put that thing away, you stupid Trumpist. I just hadn't heard anybody call him that way before. Anyway, well, all right. We could do some clips. I don't have a ton because the movie's kind of straight dialogue. It's not a lot of goofiness or anything, but
Please tell me you got a hole in the roof.
I thought of that. I wrote that down as soon as they said it.
Oh, shit. Right. I missed it. Who said there's a hole in the roof?
One of the very first things said, there's a hole in the roof.
Oh, damn it. Anything about the hole in the roof?
I think I missed that. I remember the roof and the hole and everything, but I don't remember anyone saying that. Crap. I'm off my game. All right. Well, whatever.
Oh, no, you're not.
I was having a fever dream when I watched this movie. I watched it early Friday and was like recovering from a horrible shingles vax, which I don't necessarily recommend unless you get. Well, no, you should get it. Get it.
Take the weekend off when you get it.
I highly recommend your shingles.
I'm just saying,
but you
take
should totally
a
plan for it and go, oh, I'll probably be down for it.
There you go. Plan to be down for a bit because I went in cocky, came out very humble about the whole thing. All right, here's this. Oh, here's Eddie. It's Eddie.
Any girls want to do me right now? I'm down.
Yeah, that's Eddie to a T. He just
good old Eddie.
He wants everybody. There's a lot of swearing in this movie. It was also, I had to do a lot of bleeping and stuff.
Sure.
We'll get.
Do you ever have a friend like that? Eddie is also another friend like mine. It's like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and he would just like, you know, he would say stupid crap like, you know, you sleep with me kind of crap. And I'm like, oh, that's so stupid because I saw the 99% rejection rate. But
that's high.
1% of the time. Yeah. 1% of the time.
Yes, success. I've known so many guys like that. Like that they are just a pain to be around because they're always trying to work something. They're always trying to get some hustle going. And every now and then it works for them.
Yeah. Every once in a while. Yeah. Nailed it.
Small percentage, but sometimes you roll a 20. All right, check this out. In the shitter.
My father around. In the shitter, kid.
He's in the shitter.
In the shitter, kid.
Hey, kid, he's in the shitter.
Yeah, he's in the shitter. I like that. Here's The Rock talking for the first time, and it was way into the movie before we heard from him. So here he is.
If you had anything to do with this whole whatever just went down, listen to me. Now's a better time than later if you want to shoot straight with me. I'm giving you a chance.
You know what? I will say this. I don't know if this is revolutionary to say this. I think he's probably doing the best acting of all the other characters. I think The Rock's pretty good when he wants to be.
He's doing acting.
Yeah, he acted.
I don't understand why he took this role. Like, listening to him now, you're just like, this isn't for him.
Well, in 2013, it might have been.
I think it was amazing. Okay, there's one thing that just works. His mugging. Oh, my God. The Rock's mugging. It's just
he does
so
it every
beautiful.
Film. He's got the wrinkles on his the wrinkles around his smile muscles. Let's just go freaking smile muscles that really amplify any mugging he does. Like,
It was such good mugging. I loved it so much.
He's a mugger. That's what he does.
He's a mugger.
Yeah,
I've been mugged.
He's a mugger.
Hear it here, folks. The Rock is a mugger.
The Rock is a mugger. I thought his mother was a mugger. All right, here's something about Cash. I don't remember the line.
You know, you really got to learn to keep your mouth shut. You know that? There's a lot of cash, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
A lot of fucking cash.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that was the moment where you went, oh, you got sucked in by the monies.
Another reason Scott couldn't pull clips easily. This movie has 87 uses of the F word.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, like I'm sitting down to watch it with my 12-year-old. And as it's starting up, the very, very beginning is fine. It's starting up and I'm just like looking it up like, oh, this is R-rated. I wonder why. And then I continue on and looking up. Oh, let's see what the Family Guide has to say about. Whoa, it's all the F word is the only word used.
Yeah. Jeez. No nudity, though. What a bummer.
Yeah. No rock. No rock bum or anything.
Yeah. No rock bum. I want a little rock bum. Do you think The Rock
already got our Hemsworth bum this weekend? So
somebody told me the other week that, all pro wrestlers have really tiny, tiny, tiny wieners. Do you think that's true?
Well, I mean, if you're using steroids, that's pretty common, right? Anyway,
whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to play that. Yeah, it might be the steroids. Maybe that's what they were referring to. But I don't know if it's actually true. Like, if I went to a locker room full of pro wrestlers, would they all turn around, drop their towels, and I'd go, oh, look at the cute.
Well, what I suggest is next time you run into one, ask them.
Yeah.
You don't have to run into him. I'm sure if any of them hear this, they'll be looking for you.
Yeah. Joey Image, I know he listens. How's the wiener situation? What's going on there?
Right.
What? I mean, I know he listens, but why are we asking this question?
The answer will come back very disappointingly.
Yeah.
Just like in the regular population, it varies.
It varies. You're right. It varies. Growers, not showers. That's fine. All right, check this out. Johnson Oh,
yeah,
I like
yeah,
him.
You've been talking about Johnson.
Here is Dwayne Johnson telling a Johnson to get in the back. I love this.
Johnson, get to the back.
I just love that he had to say that.
Yeah.
But is it a small Johnson?
No, I don't know. Mm. Well, that's the other thing to mention. Back. This is the part of
the
his
rock,
career.
The other Johnson was a small Johnson.
This is the part of the career of his career where he wasn't using the Rock anymore. He was telling everybody, right, just call me Dwayne Johnson. He was trying to get
except
serious.
On that first poster. On that first poster, it says right there, Dwayne Johnson in quotes, The Rock.
Oh, does it? Mm-hmm. I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh. In case you didn't know, we're talking about The Rock.
The
can
Rock.
Can you smell what he's cooking?
Yeah, I can smell it.
Oh, that Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. Here's some prepackaged music for you. All right, great. Whatever.
That one was free with GarageBand.
I know. That's what it felt like. I didn't like it. Some quality angry acting here. Some F-bombs as well, but I bleeped them. Here you go.
You answer the phone right now. You might as well shoot me dead right now, okay? I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to jail, bro. And I'm not going
shut
to fucking my
shut
shitty
the fuck up. Shut up.
I'm not going to jail.
Shut up.
I'm not going to fucking jail. Shut I'm not going back to my shitty mouth. Life right now, okay?
Oh, I love angry acting so much.
I do too. It's been a bit since we've had some good stuff.
Yeah.
Here's a what? Taken from the emailers link. Oh! Shit. Hold on. Okay, ignore that. That's a whole other thing I got to play separately. Forget that. Oh, okay.
Cool. All right. We'll talk later.
Yeah. Here, we definitely will. All right. Here, I wrote this is Greek to me because literally I think it's Greek. Meh. Okay. So here's what he says, and I don't know what he says.
Levedia.
Okay. So someone out there want to tell me?
Levedia.
Because that guy had a perfect, regular old American accent until he wanted to say whatever that is.
Levedia.
And I want to know what it is. He was the mob boss guy. All right, just walk out the door.
Hey, whoa, relax, I said, turn
relax,
around.
Relax.
Walk out the door,
what's
yeah?
Going on
turn
okay.
around.
Chill.
Walk out
put
the
gun
fucking
down.
Door, huh?
Put the gun down.
I said,
the f*** is going on?
Do
relax,
yourself a
favor.
Go! Walk out the door! Go!
Shut me my f***ing mouth.
Get the f*** out! Go now! The f*** out of here now! Get the f*** out!
You serious, huh?
Just walk out the door.
Yeah, that Colombian standoff. It was pretty good.
And I just want to say, if you're listening to that and you didn't watch the movie, that makes it sound so good.
It does. Yeah. It's a good scene, though. I will give them credit. That's an amazing scene. It's really well done. It doesn't deserve, or in the rest of the movie doesn't deserve it. I'll put it that way. Because it was, I could use more of that. Just hard-boiled freaking mob justice, man. All right. Here's your checklist. Oh, my goodness. The Rock gets top billing, but he, what does that say? But he no comes to be in movie? Check is what I wrote.
Well done, Scott. Well done.
I was, again, a bit of a fever watch when I watched this. Just kill Eddie already? Check. I kind of really did think he'd die because that's the trope.
I thought so too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that surprised me. Then I wrote, Hemi is a big dude when he's not in the same room as The Rock. And I think I meant Hemsworth. I meant Liam.
Yeah, we knew who you meant. Lemmy.
Yeah, because in all other scenes, he towered, and then you put him in with The Rock, and he's like, oh, a little bitty man.
Yeah.
All right. Star Trek connections. Are there any? It seems hard.
Yeah, we got three.
Oh.
We got three Star Trek connections.
Oh, really?
Okay.
I feel like we've talked about the big one before, but we'll get to it. So all three of them are from Voyager. So an actor named Ted Barba was NYPD cop driver number one in this movie. Ted Barba. He was in Voyager. An actor named Wayne Perret, who played Williams in this movie. Again, they're just dudes.
Williams.
He was in Star Trek Voyager. But most importantly, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he was actually in an episode of Voyager. And I just feel like we talked about this before.
Yeah, he wrestled in it, basically fought in it. It was like a...
Yeah, the episode was called Tsunkatse.
Yeah.
And he was the champion in that episode. It was his character's name.
Yeah, somebody had to fight him and win to live or to... I don't know what the deal was. It was some weird thing.
And this was in 2000, so he was still only ever appearing as a wrestler at this point. This was before The Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
He was on That 70s Show as a wrestler. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He
wasn't shaving his head yet. He still had the hair up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thumb yet.
Yeah.
look at The Rock's IMDb, it really looks like he has no business being in feature films. Like, it is just WWF that and WWE this again, and every little
F this.
Yeah. WWF that.
And then suddenly he's in The Mummy Returns as a CGI guy. Mm-hmm. And they put him in that movie, The Rundown, which we saw on FilmSack. And then boom, he's a major motion picture star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's as big as Arnold was at the prime of Arnold. You know, I think he's got plenty more to do.
It's a testament to why we do Star Trek connections, is what I'm saying. Yeah. He was in a Star Trek show long before he had any business being in a Star Trek show.
That's true. And he didn't do much acting, as I recall, but it's an okay episode. It's all right. It holds up. Let's get to the soundtrack grade. I give it an F for fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's not great. I liked when they used old music from the late 70s and early 80s and, you know, just created the texture of the sound of the time. That's cool. But yeah, it's not.
Nice. Yeah. They got some scoring by a guy named David Whitman, a really young composer. Like this is like his first thing or his second thing.
Well, there's your problem. You need an old guy is what you need.
Yeah, that's what you need. You need an old guy there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is. Our director here is, is a musician, right? He comes into this from being part of a band that made a bunch of money, and he decided to invest in himself as a filmmaker.
Mm.
I'm sure he knows people, right? And this was a connection between them.
Isn't that what because Ridley Scott did something like that, or he... before directing was like made millions doing some company and then was like, well, I just want to make movies. So I'm taking my share. And he just went and made movies. I can't remember what the deal was there, but something like that. That's always interesting to me that you'll find somebody with like tons of cash, successful otherwise mm-hmm. business or whatever. And then,
no, I just want to make movies.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make the movies. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, you know, rich people do this kind of thing all the time and it almost never works. Kurt Schilling, then you have to you have to have both the money and the talent. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. That's, I guess the difference between those who succeed and those who don't. And I'm not going to say this guy doesn't succeed because look at all these stars he puts in his movie. He must be doing something right, but nothing in his entire list is very great. It's all just kind of average stuff. He should focus more on the fight in that room where you get up, walk out the door, shut the door. Do more of that.
Right. Around.
Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. And I think this week we'll go out of our way to start with Randy.
Empire State. Criminals do things like pile up millions of dollars or run a Greek restaurant as an obvious front for a crime family or spend millions making a completely uninteresting movie.
Oh.
Wait a minute. The movie is a front for a crime family.
What? Figured
it out. Guys, listen, if I die in mysterious circumstances, remember, I'm saying right now, I am not suicidal. Hold on. Someone's at the door.
Nice. Let's now do Brian.
Empire Dunaway. State. Yeah. I'm going to do it before you even start.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Empire State. Like a Saturday night fever at Ibbot's house. # thumb shaped rock.
I would just like to admit that I got up to go answer the door when I said, hold on, someone.
Oh, you really actually did.
You got there and like, what the hell are you doing? There's not actually someone at the door.
I've done that. Where I say a thing and then I immediately make the action. Yeah, your brains react in weird ways. I get it.
Nice.
Where the hell was I? Oh, Brian Ibbett. Let's hear you.
Sure. Empire State. Mission Inevitable.
Ah.
That's really good.
Oh.
You know what? That should have been an alternate title. Well done.
Too good.
Yeah, that was a little too good.
Nice to spec things.
Speaking of which, Empire Wait was an alternate title written here. Or My Big Fat Greek Robbery.
That's a really good. You have outdone yourself on that one.
Thank you. Yeah. Here's some emails. We get emails at filmsack@gmail.com. We got one from Thomas from Missouri.
Oh, hi, Thomas.
He says, hello, Scott, Randy, Brian, and Brian, and Brian. I listened to the episode about Bourne Identity, and I thought of something about the movie that I've always kind of wondered about. So, in the movie, Chris Cooper's character, Conklin, is in the middle of clearing out the Paris office of Treadstone when he's interrupted by Jason Bourne. Afterwards, he is taken out by an assassin sent by Brian Cox's character, Ward Albert, and so is unable to finish up cleaning the safe house himself. Do you think, as part of the cleanup, that Conklin was going to kill Julia Stiles' character, Nikki? She knew a lot about what was happening with Bourne, and she could have leaked that info to a lot of people, including Abbott. Conklin seemed like the kind of ruthless guy that would just shoot her and have her disposed of to keep everyone from learning about what she knew. Maybe the later films answer this, but I don't remember if they do or don't. Just something I've kind of wondered about since seeing the film for the first time way back in 2002. Just wanted to say I'm really enjoying FilmSack, and I really like the different bonus episodes you guys have added with the Patreon. It made an already great show even better. Aww. Keep up the awesome work, guys. Thomas from Missouri. Well, that's super nice of you to say. I thought that it was, maybe about killing Julia Stiles' character, but basically Brian Cox's character does the cleanup. He's the one that tells him to wipe the drives and let's move out of here, right? In that scene.
Right, but that would be after, right? Because before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was in line with the character. Absolutely. I agree. I think that was
it does seem like something he would do. But maybe they do address it later, because she is in the next two of these.
Right. She ends up flipping, so I would say so. I would say that she has a tendency to be more like Bourne. So yeah.
Right. And at some point,
very likely.
At some point, I always think Brian Cox and this other guy are the same guy, but there's a really old, crusty dude that's like really the one in charge. But he doesn't show up till later. I can't think of his name. He was in that.
Oh, old, crusty dude.
Dang it. He's a great actor. He's Irish, but he looks like a giant scone, like a wet scone. He's just
I love when Scott describes
people. I can't remember his name. He was in that.
I can't wait for Irish scone wrestlers to start emailing about their tiny penises.
He was in the Julia Roberts movie that she got all the Oscars for. Aaron Brockovich. He was like her lawyer or something. Oh. You guys, this is killing me. I can't think of the guy's name. But I think later he shows up. Anyway, we're going to get to all those movies at some point.
We are. I actually have already figured out where we're going to watch The Bourne Supremacy next. Mm. And that's got Carl Urban, dude. I'm excited.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, nobody really knew.
Fresh off the season finale of The Boys.
Ooh. I guess we still knew him from, Lord of the Rings then, right? Because that would have been like 05 or something. Yeah, Lord of the Rings was about all we knew him from. Because he was Rohan dude. Anyway,
he was Rohan dude.
Yeah, don't make me try to remember that guy's name. By the way, I started this season of The Boys. I like The Boys. I've watched all of it, and I just finally started this one. Yeah, nobody warned me they'd be inside of a giant penis this first episode.
Yeah. Warning, spoiler.
Yeah, no idea.
Oh, and it just goes up from there, Scott.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I'm going to get, intended. I guess they do the comic hero gasm thing.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Sweet.
Second email from Dandy, who says, we're not going to call him Dandy.
Dandy.
I'm a dandy. He says, hello, sackers and greetings. In episode 558 about the Bourne identity, Scott mentioned gun cocking sounds that reminded him of the 007 GoldenEye video game. I've definitely heard that sound effect used in several games and movies. The earliest one I thought I could recall was Dark Forces. This is that Star Wars game. I went looking for it and found this fandom page with the sound effect linked called Load and Cock my M14 Rifle Gun. Also has a list of movie shows and video games that have used it. Take a listen and see what you think. Thanks for the hours of entertainment, Dan. Now, here's what I did. I have all three for comparison. This is the one that is the actual GoldenEye reload. Okay, so here's that. Mm-hmm. All right, here, I'll do one more time. Here's the one that I thought sounded like GoldenEye from our previous film. Different, but in the same department.
Maybe a little adjusted. Yeah.
Yeah. Could be. But still. Here's the one taken from the emailer. I think that's just a faster version of that.
Yeah.
I think he's right. So the one from the movie, which is this, when he's falling down the hole, sounds just like the one from that Star Wars game. Congratulations. You did.
Yeah. I think that's
you win.
For sure.
You found the Foley we were looking for.
Why does it all sound like office equipment? Like, you're using like
probably a stapler. Is.
Yeah, electric stapler, for sure.
It like probably you're saying is. That all that Foley work is just BS, is not real guns cocking. I call foul.
You call foul?
I call foul.
I also call foul. Hey, thanks guys for emails. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address to use. Please keep using it on the frequent. We love hearing what you have to say, and you're all being so nice lately, especially these amazing patrons lately. Let me tell you about the people that have joined just since last week. Okay. This has only been a Earth week since we've had these people join the Patreon. Ben Vaughn, Jay Fell, Matt Drake, John Conrad, Brett. also a Brent, both has no last names. Ray Hargis, Jason Hawthorne, Alex Zucco, Winchester Reload. That's cool because of the thing we just did. Like
that that's one. A great name.
Yeah, it is good. Shania and Monbo, I think is how you say it.
Monbo.
That was just today at 8 o'clock this morning. So congratulations and thank you for all joining the Patreon. There are many, many reasons to do so. You can go find all those reasons why. And we had a really, it was really the end of our first month in June, and it turned out great. You guys are awesome. Yeah. So please continue to support the show. We'll continue to send great stuff your direction, bonus content every week, including bonus monthly shows and artwork, stickers, other stuff during the month.
Yeah.
So check it out. All right. That's patreon.com/filmsack, if I hadn't said it, because I didn't. Filmsack. That's patreon.com/filmsack. That is going to do it for us. Oh, our next film. Tell us, Randy, what are we doing?
It's the Quick and the Dead.
The Quick and the Dead. Yeah. Oh, Sam Raimi Western.
Both films?
Yes, yeah, the Quick and the Dead.
And the Dead. Yeah.
It came out in 1995. I remember this specifically because my daughter, my oldest, was like 6 months old, and we took her to it, and she slept through the whole thing, which I couldn't believe because it's a raucous, you know, a couple hours of you know, action and stuff. But Gene Hackman and Lance Hendrickson and very young Leonardo DiCaprio in a pretty good role. Russell Crowe looking all skinny. It's a hell of a thing. And one of my favorite Sharon Stone movies of all time. So you guys, whoever has not seen this yet, it sounds like none of you have, right?
I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it. Oh, I didn't know we've seen it. Okay. I love this movie. I know Randy hasn't seen it. He's the only one, I guess.
I don't think I have. I will see. I may start watching.
I'm
it
a go, huge oh, fan. Yeah. Huge style over, not over substance, but it's clear that Raimi wanted to make like his own kind of spaghetti wacko Western a little bit, and it really works. So that's next week right here on the Film Sack.
Yeah, we're going to watch it on Netflix. I just got to say, like, for no reason, I just want to say Netflix is killing it right now.
Yeah. They're doing pretty good with the old stuff. Yeah. Digging it.
This is what you do. You raise your prices and you F up the animation studios, and then you do some other shitty mistakes. And then anything you do that's good looks better. It's like having food poisoning at the Taco Bell. When it reopens, it's the best taco you're ever going to have.
Exactly. Yes. No. Taco Bell is the Netflix is the Taco Bell after food poisoning.
Damn straight it is. So
it's the place to see Umbrella Academy and Stranger Things. And I mean, I if you have for some reason haven't watched Breaking Bad, that's on Netflix. Like, it's just, they're killing it.
Yeah, they're doing all right. Anyway, I'm finally watching the newest two seasons of Love, Sex, and Robots, or whatever it's called. Love, Death, and Robots.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of that yet. Any of the new season of it, I should say.
The second season, everyone said, oh, it's short, not as good. I disagree. I think there is some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen in that season, including that one where there's a giant crab on the freaking pirate boat. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, I want a whole movie. And it was directed by,
Harvey Benton.
No, Seven. And he made Seven. What's his name? he made Seven in the Incredible Shrinking Mr. Benjamin, or whatever the hell that was called, and Panic Room. Why can't I think of his name?
Incredible Shrinking Mr.
Alien
Benjamin.
Alien 3. What's his name? This is going to piss me off. Hold on. Alien 3.
David Fincher!
Anyway, David.
The David most Fincher. Fun ride I've had in a while. Thank you for taking it. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Exactly. If really do watch for it, though. It's called, let me give you the name. It is called, he directed it. Where is it? It's called, damn it. I can't find the episode, but it's basically there's a giant crab living in this boat, and they have to figure out how to do its bidding. And I can't even.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
That's so good.
Sign me up.
I want a whole movie. I want a whole series. I want more. Like, that's my only problem with that show is that every one of them is amazing. And I'm like, this could be longer, bigger seasons. Like, it could be all these things. But that's not the point, right? And no one's going to take the risk on a giant crab in the basement of a ship. Like, they're never going to do it.
And also, like, David Fincher doesn't have anything to do with Love, Death, and Robots, like, creatively, right? No, he's not, no. like, he didn't direct any of these.
No, he's executive producer. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. He directed that one. The crab one I'm talking about, he directed.
He directed one of them.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. He directed that one in particular. I don't know about others, but he's also executive producer on, like, most of
it. Oh, I see it. Yeah, it's called Bad Traveling.
Bad Traveling. You guys got to see it. Ugh.
Let's check it out.
It's so great. Oh, my gosh. All right, anyway.
23 minutes long. I'm there.
Yeah, it was very good. And also Troy Baker's, I think, maybe his best work. And I know he's renowned for video game work, but man, really good in this. Anyway, there's that. Filmsack.com is our website. Patreon.com/FilmSack is how you can support the show. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can still do those. 801-471-0462. If you want to email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We do have the technology. We haven't done one in a while, so maybe it'd be fun. Anyway, Twitter, you can find us also at FilmSack. Leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Eddie.
We'll see you next time. Eddie.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Eh? Le bit,
yeah.
Yeah.
Le bit.